T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You're gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwen and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
Monte tried to sneak the cheese past the rat there.
And Chris Ello.
Strasburg ready to go. The 1-2 pitch slider, strike 3, ball, and no-hitter.
Let's go! Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
And we welcome you back to Gwen and Chris. Hour number 3. It's Chris Ello. It's Tony Gwynn Jr. live from the 2019 baseball winter meeting. Susan from North Park? I don't know.
Carlsbad.
That's close to North Park, right?
Not even close.
If you make the wrong turn on the freeway, it is.
That's true.
Susan, congratulations. She took over as today's biggest fan. So she wins the tickets to the SeaWorld night and the gets entered in the prize package for the Vegas Barry Manilow getaway. Congrats, Susan. Well done. We're just hanging out. Scott Miller's going to be on the program a little bit later, get some of the last-minute news and notes and details. If you're just tuning in, I guess Blake Treinen signing with the Dodgers is the biggest news of this afternoon. Obviously, Gerrit Cole was bigger than that. That was last night, but baseball winter meetings continuing here at the Manchester Grand Hyatt, and we've had a great time. Appreciate Adam Klug and everybody at the station setting us up down here, and Scraby doing his thing, running around, tracking guests down. Well done. A couple things. Tonight, we talked about the Lakers earlier, Tony, but the biggest NBA game tonight, if there is such a thing, is in Toronto, because
that's right.
Kawhi Leonard is returning to Toronto tonight with the Clippers. Nice of Kawhi to play in the game. I'm glad he didn't choose tonight as one of his sit-out games. I did notice that Giannis is sitting one out, though, for a little load management tonight against the New Orleans Pelicans.
You know what? I don't mind Giannis taking a day. He plays as hard as anybody in the league, and they probably told him they would have to fine him if he tried to go out and play or something like that, because he's not the type that's going to take a load managed laying down by any means.
Well, you know, in this day and age, I can't begrudge him a day off.
No.
Just because everyone
Everybody else
does
is it. Taking him, right?
Yeah, everyone else does it, but maybe 10, 15 years ago, I would have begrudged him. What kind of reception do you give Kawhi Leonard if you're a Toronto fan tonight?
Oh, I show him love.
I would think so. I mean, he led you to the title. I mean, I know people are going to be upset that he's not there anymore, but
do you guys remember what Toronto was prior to him getting there? They were the team that would have wonderful, terrific regular seasons and just get bounced as soon as Cleveland showed up, as soon as LeBron, whether it was first round, whether it was Eastern Conference Final, which it was the year before where they got swept. Yep. In an Eastern Conference final. They do that to acquiring Kawhi Leonard and winning the whole thing.
And beating the Warriors.
On top of that. The
top of the heap right there to win the championship. Yeah, I think you got to remember that. I mean, I think the short-sighted Toronto Raptor fan will probably want to boo him. But the smart Toronto Raptor fan will realize, my goodness, what did this guy do for our franchise? This city of Toronto. I mean, the Blue Jays won back in 1992 and 93. The Maple Leafs have been horrific for the better part of 50 years in the NHL. That was the first championship, major championship for the city of Toronto.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, somebody's going to tweet me now and say, we won the MSL Cup. Or whatever that
MLS.
Thing is. MLS Cup.
MSL.
Yeah, that thing. It's so popular, I don't even know what they call it. But no, that's not a major sport. Sorry, soccer fans. I know you're not going to be upset.
Oh, it's you shouldn't say that.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm sorry. A major sport. Soccer is the English Premier League.
AJ Cassava, how do you feel about the Toronto MLS team not being considered a major sport?
Would you qualify that as a major sports title for the city of Toronto?
Major North American sport? I think there are four major North American sports.
Thank you, AJ. Very well done. You may now have a cookie. Please have a cookie.
Take what you need, brother.
We have a couple cookies that somebody was nice enough to drop by. All right. You know, the other interesting thing I think that's going on right now in sports, Tony, is you've got Rob Manfred speaking here at the MLB winter meetings about the alleged cheating scandal of the Houston Astros. That's quite a bit further along than this other one. But Roger Goodell commented for the first time today on the potential New England Patriots wrongdoings again. And I believe just in general, he said it's way too early for me to rush to any judgment or make any considerations based on, you know, we don't know a whole lot right now. Belichick was very adamant in saying he didn't even know that a camera crew was there. This was something that completely was off his table. This was a production company, a production crew working for the Patriots. For most coaches, I'd give him the benefit of the doubt. For Belichick,
wait, are we talking about coaches or are we talking about Goodall?
No, we're talking about Belichick said.
Oh, I thought we were saying that Goodell said it didn't come across his. Okay, I got
no,
you.
No.
You're talking about Belichick.
Belichick is saying
I heard this.
That he didn't know anything about this production crew going out and filming the Bengal game, was unaware of it, said the only bit of footage that he's seen from that is footage that has been shown on regular television. Most coaches, I would just believe them at their word, but Belichick, you gotta at least shake your head and wonder for a second. I mean, these guys have been caught so many different times, or at least been accused so many different times, that you know it's hard to imagine the Patriots, anybody in their organization, going anywhere without Belichick's knowledge.
I don't know how you heard it, but it sounded to me that he all but was basically saying, "Yeah, we like to push the line, but in this case, that wasn't really what happened.
I didn't do it this time."
This time, he's like, "Yes, I mean, we're going to." I think the word he kept saying is, "We're going to be competitive in all areas of football." Competitive is what word he was using, and I think he was basically saying, "Yes, we will step right on the line, but this time we're not doing it." Is how I interpreted what he was saying.
Yeah.
So,
well, he's not exactly an innocent guy in this entire thing.
And I don't even think he was trying to claim or even trying to – he was even trying to hide the fact.
He was trying to fake it.
He was just straight up basically saying, listen, we pushed the line, but this time we didn't do it.
Yeah, but you know, well, he says he didn't know anything about it. But if he didn't know anything about it, what would be the reason – for anybody in the employee of the New England Patriots to go to a Cincinnati Bengals game and film the Bengals sideline if it wasn't going to come back somehow onto Belichick's desk in terms of trying to help him win a football game? What would even be the point?
Who
would be filming the Bengals sideline just for their own kicks?
I can't think of something, but Ryan Clark of ESPN made a terrific point. This is not the same NFL that it was when they got caught the first time, where hand signals were a big part of plays going in. Now they have the actual headsets in the helmet, so there's no need for hand signals anymore. So at least as I heard it from him, and he's a guy who will go to the grave saying that the Patriots are cheaters. Like, he's in that camp. He just feels like this time, and after listening to him as a football guy, I have to respect it.
Yeah.
He feels like this time that's not the case. So,
you know,
only the investigation will end up letting us know, though.
I think it says a lot to me, and it should say a lot to the fans. We don't really think about this on a weekly basis, but it says a lot to me that every single coach in the NFL walks around the sideline
with their play card up here, covering their mouth whenever they speak,
because that means they think somebody's watching them, trying to lip read, trying to steal their sign. I mean, you know what I mean? They're so concerned about it that there is not a single coach I have seen in the NFL just speak directly into his headset.
The paranoia seems to have spread throughout all sports, because we see it in baseball with pitchers stepping off.
Oh, right. Pitchers step off and they got their glove over their head.
We're finding out maybe there was a reason for this.
Yes.
Apparently, in football, there seems to be reasons for it as well. So
I guess so. All right. Anyway, We'll keep an eye on this Patriot thing. I don't know, really know what else they're going to be able to do to the Patriots, but if they get found to be wrongdoing again, then the price of poker's got to go up a little bit, the way I see it. All right, we'll take a little time out here. When we come back, much, much more from the 2019 Major League Baseball winter meetings. I'm Chris Sello. That's Tony Gwynn Jr. This is San Diego's number one sports talk station. It's 97.3 The Fan, and here's a check of traffic with Sue D.
4:17, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello here at the 2019 winter meetings. Things are starting to kind of calm down. You're starting to see different teams take their flights home, different players, coaches, managers. Things are starting, the mood is starting to lighten a little bit, and joining us to maybe give us a little recap of some of the things that he's heard and have taken place here in the winter meetings, A.J. Cazavelle joins us. MLB, joins us on the Gwynn and Chris. A.J., how you doing, man?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm well, man. You've been
hometown winter meetings.
Hometown winter meetings. Nice, right? You get to sleep in your own bed. Don't have to worry.
I'm staying here.
You're staying here?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, that's dedication right there. Dedication.
Really?
Yeah. AJ, what's your takeaway 3 days, 4 days into this this winter meeting?
Well, they've been busy on the whole. I think from the Padres side, they got most of their stuff done already. I'm most intrigued by kind of the way they view their rotation. It sounds like they're ready to go into the season with this group, which I don't know that that's the right answer. The way they're addressing it is by trying to get better in the bullpen, maybe shorten some games. But I think for me, that's the biggest takeaway so far. They're still looking to shake things up on offense. But if you would ask me, I would have said maybe a frontline arm or even like a 3-4 kind of depth guy is what they need.
Yeah.
But and ultimately, it's still December. A.J. Preller could very easily be slow playing the market right now.
A.J. Cazavelle is
he
our
He seems like a slow player sometimes if he was a poker guy.
He's a both player. He's a fast player and a slow player.
No, there's end games is what I'm saying. There's an end game to everything he's doing.
Yes, there is. A.J. Cazavelle is with us. What did you think of the – I haven't had a chance to talk with you and get your thoughts on Tommy Pham and on the Brewers trade and picking up Pomeranz. And I mean, it seems to me, Jerickson Profar, I mean, do you think this Padre team just on paper is a little better right now than it was at the end of last season?
It's definitely a little better, and these moves are the first time we've really seen A.J. kind of go into a win-now mode. I think even some of the moves that he's made to get better in the past, they have also been with a vision for the future. I think if you look at these trades, there's no doubt that they're trying to get better for next season. Sacrificed a little bit of the future with Xavier Edwards and Hunter Renfro, who had two more seasons than Tommy Pham, but Tommy Pham's a very good baseball player who you're going to get 2 years out of.
Right.
You mentioned, because we just had Jace on the first hour of the show, and that's how I knew what you're saying is true about them, how they view their rotation. What do you think got them to that point? Because it sounded as though they wanted to address it. I don't know if they were ever really in the running for any of the top-tier guys, so that one kind of threw me for a loop. But it also makes me believe that they may believe that Mackenzie Gore and Patino are closer than maybe we view them.
Yeah, I think it's the cost of pitching, too. And they don't want Hyunjin Ryu, Madison Bumgarner, that type of guy kind of bogging down. When they have these guys in the next 2-3 seasons, kind of if Gore, Paddock, Patino is your 1-2-3 in a couple years, that could be pretty good. And I think if you add a guy or two, that would that's not to prevent them from doing so. But if the cost is higher than you want, That's kind of where they've fallen right now. They've seen what these guys are going to cost. I mean, look at the two biggest names. They got, I think, more than anyone would have expected. And that's that. If that trickles down, the Padres, I mean, you could say they might be a little wise to kind of back off a little bit.
I think they are.
What do you think about the international market? We heard the Korean pitchers' names come up a week or so ago. Is there any movement in that area? Is it something the Padres are pretty serious about, you think?
I think so, and I think that's the kind of guy that they would be looking for if they're going to add a starting pitcher. None of this is to say they're not going to add a starting pitcher. They could still add someone who maybe bottom of the rotation could kind of compete for that fourth, fifth spot, but not necessarily just have it right off the bat. Because the rotation's probably Paddock and Richards, definitely, and then you got Davies, Lamette, who will be most likely in it. Lucchese competing for a spot, Quantrill competing for a spot. But if you add one more guy, that's not a detriment in any way. Pitching depth is an important thing. It's not you don't win with five guys anymore.
No, good point.
In terms of whether you think this ball club, and when I say this ball club, the Padres, are done Do you think, and that's aside from the pitching part that we all agree that they still could do something, do you think they've addressed everything they wanted to in terms of the position players?
They've addressed a lot of things. They're not done. Okay. I think they still want another bat. The top half of the lineup looks very good now,
but
the bottom half of the lineup has a lot of question marks. Yeah. They don't want to go into the season with question marks when they're looking to compete and win in 2020.
Give me your thoughts on Jurickson Profar. I looked at his batting average. I looked at just some of his cursory numbers. I see a 302 average against lefties, but I see a 192 average against righties. I see most of his power, though, coming against righties. Very little power against lefties. Had trouble throwing the baseball, made a bunch of errors last year. He doesn't stand out to me, at least on the surface, as a guy that's my everyday second baseman just automatically. What do you think of him, and what did the Padres see in him maybe that we don't see, the numbers don't tell us?
Well, they didn't give up a whole lot, and I don't think they view him as necessarily their everyday second baseman right now. They're still out there looking to get better at second base. And okay. So they see a guy with upside because he's still young. He was a top prospect not very long ago. He still has a lot of those tools.
Right.
There are question marks, but he's a versatile guy where if you were to go out and still acquire another second baseman, he can play first, second, third, and short, and even some left field. So there's opportunities for him pretty much across the diamond. It's a buy low kind of candidate. They have enough catching depth where Austin Allen wasn't too big a loss. And so
okay.
I think that's what they saw to make that deal, and I kind of like it.
AJ, okay. We know you got to get rolling, man. We appreciate your time coming here to chat with us. Have a good day, brother.
Yep. Thanks, AJ.
One day left.
AJ Casaville, MLB.com. Yeah.
How come we didn't get a room at the hotel? AJ got one.
Because our boss didn't want to pay for two rooms or one room for that
Not
matter.
Even one room.
So. You should have seen the look when I said, hey, well, why don't we get a room, man? I would be here all day just like getting guests and stuff. And
oh, yeah, sure you would.
Content is not that important.
You're right.
Not enough to have a hotel room in the Hyatt.
In the Manchester Grand Hyatt. Yeah, good point. Excellent point. All right. Well, thanks to AJ Casaville giving us a little late look here at the Padres situation. When's Scott Miller coming on?
5:05.
5:05. Okay. So we got that. We got a countdown coming up.
We do.
It's going to be the best countdown we've ever done because
we have no idea.
As of 4:25,
nobody knows what it is.
We don't know what our countdown is going to be. And it's starting in 5 minutes. So this
I was
could be
say
one of the
maybe
craziest countdowns of all time.
Tony and I tentatively agreed on your top 5 moments of the winter meetings, which is really us mailing it in.
That is a mail-in right
top
there.
Top 5 moments of the winter meetings? Like the last 3 days?
Yes.
You know, that's how you know things are starting to slow down. I mean, prior to today, we didn't have to come up with things like that because it was constant action going on. That is kind of dwindling down a little bit.
It has definitely slowed down.
Anytime there's you're around, Scraby, it's pretty hard for anything to beat that.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, I don't either. Now that I heard it come out of my mouth.
Kawhi Leonard is, as we said, is in Toronto. Sounds like he got a pretty nice ovation.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, because they got their rings. He got his ring today too, as well. So that's a pretty
nice. When you go out and get your ring, you don't want to be booed.
No. And to be quite frank, if you're handing out rings just for that day anyway, you should probably be cheerful.
You should respect what Kawhi Leonard did for you. Sure, the Toronto people would love to still have him, but he gave them something that they've never had before, and they may never have again.
That's a very
good point. I oohed on the mic. I didn't think it was, yeah. The booing thing reminded me that the Patriots fans booed the Patriots on the way off the field at halftime on Sunday. Is that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard?
No, they're fans. Do you know?
Are you kidding?
Do you know?
Fan is short for the word fanatic.
They've been in the Super Bowl for the past 4 years, and you're going to boo them coming off the field?
That's never enough. You spoiled them rotten at this point.
Thomas, what do you have to say for you in the Patriot Nation?
Yeah, right. You know what? As a matter of fact, Thomas, you've been quite quiet for the last few weeks in terms of your Patriots.
Since they've been cheating and losing, we haven't heard much from them.
What do you have to say for yourself, Thomas?
We're on to Cincinnati.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, you guys are on to Cincinnati. You guys have been on to Cincinnati for a few weeks, apparently.
Yeah, apparently this game has them very concerned.
I was just saying, your team is so concerned about losing to the Bengals, they sent someone to cheat.
Apparently so. Apparently so.
No days off. No days off.
Leave it to Thomas for the nice, nice sound bites. All right, we're going to step away, take a break. When we return, hopefully, we've got a countdown for you. This is Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
The latest rants and ravings and rumors from the 2019 MLB winter meetings. We welcome you back to Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., 97.3 The Fan's coverage of the 2019 MLB winter meetings presented by your San Diego Honda dealers. Take advantage of end-of-the-year offers on your favorite Honda model. Your San Diego Honda dealers are ready to wrap up a deal you'll love at their Happy Honda Days sales event. Visit sdhondadealers.com. What do you have over there before we get to our countdown that we still aren't sure what we're doing? I actually think people are going to like the countdown we came up with.
It looks like the Mets discussing a trade with the Astros for the young phenom Correa, shortstop.
Carlos Correa.
Carlos, yes.
And you'd have to give up a lot for him.
You would think so, right?
He's an excellent player,
of course. You would definitely think so.
But how good is he if he goes to New York and they're not stealing and cheating and giving him signs? You got to wonder about that.
Again,
like every Houston Astro player now.
Again,
I mean, it's got to be in the back of your mind if you trade for an Astro that he's used to hitting by knowing what pitches are coming.
Every unintended consequence.
Yeah.
That's kind of unintended consequence we're talking about.
Right.
Like players are going to have a kind of their eyebrows raised at most guys who play for him. It's no different than the steroids. Like,
yep.
If your name was even involved, even if you didn't necessarily do it, if you were just around it and your name came up around that time,
right?
Everybody was looking at you with suspicion.
That's right. That's the way that goes. So
how about that?
Yeah, I mean, the minute an ex-Houston Astro struggles for 2 weeks, wherever they are, somebody's going to say, hey, because he doesn't know what pitch is coming. So,
yeah.
Anyway, all right, we'll see how that goes. Padres, it's getting a little more traction today than it maybe did yesterday, but we're seeing Starling Marte's name pop up again a couple of times today. So, you know, I can't say I'd turn a player like that down. I mean, he answers a question in your outfield if you make a deal to acquire him from Pittsburgh. But, again, all just rumors, all just part of the action here at the MLB 2019 Major League Baseball Winter Meetings. All of our guests presented by Wing Ling Buddha-style chicken found at Sin Lee Foods. This is a lifestyle, not a fad. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Jumping into the unknown, a countdown.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, this is going to be the ultimate generational countdown. We've never really done a countdown that I think is this divisive in terms of my generation, your generation. But I think you guys all understand what we mean when we give you the topic and then we start giving you our countdown. Today's topic, our top five favorite video games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Thomas is going to get his Turn Back Time theme song ready for my video games.
If I can turn
most of your down. Video games, I have a feeling I'm going to have never even heard of them.
It's very possible.
I will not
know
of them.
We're going to do all video games. We're going to do PC games. We're going to do Xbox games. We're going to do phone
games.
Everything's
eligible.
I don't know. A video game.
A phone game.
Can you see it on your phone?
Yes.
Then that makes it a video game.
Just making sure.
Scraby's off the chain.
Chinese checkers doesn't count.
Scraby.
All right, who's going first?
Chris.
I will.
Number five.
Donkey Kong.
Oh, that's a good one.
My number five. Love Donkey Kong. Became quite good at Donkey Kong. Could get up to about the sixth or seventh or eighth level maybe of Donkey Kong. Never further than that. But I'm talking about the very original Donkey Kong before there was anything beyond the little Mario guy running up the ladders and this, you know. Did you ever see the original version?
Yeah, of course.
I don't know. But, I mean, Donkey Kong went into a whole became a whole thing, didn't it, after that?
Well, yeah. It turned into Donkey Kong 1, 2, 3. They had a whole bunch of Donkey Kongs.
What are you up to now? Like Donkey Kong 610?
I've lost track. But okay. You got to remember, my dad was a video game guy.
Yeah.
And he grew up in your era. So I couldn't get by with knowing about, you know, Galaga or, you know, some
don't
of the...
give away all my secrets. By the way, my favorite move in Donkey Kong is when you jumped off the end of the ladder, caught the fire flame, and then turned around in midair and came back and landed on the ladder and were back in action. But now,
you had some power.
Yes. You had that fire flame.
Number five on my list is Contra.
Oh, yeah.
One of...
God, I mean, it
was the first dual game that, at least that I remember,
it's
on Nintendo. And my dad and I would be on Contra trying to finish that whole thing. It was one of my favorite games. You could still get it in different variations through Xbox and PlayStation. Top five.
Isn't that what the one with the famous up, down, up, down,
up, down,
left,
right, A, B, A, B start?
Yeah, that was the code,
that
the
was
cheat code.
The cheat code.
You remember Game Shark?
Game Shark.
I was just going through my old stuff. And
I remember Game Shark.
Put in the cartridge on top of the Game Shark, and the Game Shark had all these different cheats in
there.
Oh
yeah, that's right. I do remember Game Shark. That was like the first bootleg.
Yeah, that was like a black box of video games. Right.
You guys might as well be talking in Swahili right now. I don't have any idea what you're talking about. By the way, the countdown is brought to you by our friends at Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers in San Diego. Time to move on.
Number four.
All right, number four for me is going to be Missile Command.
Man, that's a great game. That is a great game.
Missile Command.
The lines come down from the top of the screen to blow up your city, and you have to shoot bombs into the air to stop the lines from coming down and getting to you. But then they start coming so fast, you can't possibly stop them all.
Yeah.
And you have to take the... the ball, for lack of a better word, the
cursor, the mouse, the
yeah, but it's a ball rather than a cursor.
Oh yeah, 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 track ball.
Okay, the track ball. You have to spin it across the screen and go to light up like.
Oh, is that the equivalent of left right up down
I don't know, but 10 explosions at once to get a big enough chaos to keep all of the missiles from blowing up your hometown. Missile Command.
That's legit. I have to put Super Mario Kart as number
four. Original?
The original.
Super Mario Kart.
So after
Does
they
that
make,
have anything to do with Donkey Kong?
No, it has everything to do with Mario Brothers.
Okay.
So everything, you know, Mario, they exhausted all Mario games. And at one point, they didn't have any more levels to come up with. So they just made a racing game that turned out to be even more brilliant.
It was amazing.
You shouldn't say even more. There's nothing more brilliant than Mario Brothers. But it was right up there in terms of success in the Mario series.
It would make me so mad when someone would make me slip on the banana.
The banana. Or they throw one of the heat-seeking red turtle shells.
Yeah. Or the spiky blue shell. It would follow you. It's like a missile. It was like a heat seeker. Chris is like, yeah.
You'd be right there by the finish line and get hit
by one
of those.
Did you ever, the Rainbow Road, when you would...
That was like the hardest level.
It was a six-minute track. And then you could jump. Did you know you could jump off?
It took me years to figure that part out, but yes.
I once failed out of a couple of classes at San Diego State, I believe, because of Missile Command only. There was one at my local 7-Eleven, which meant every day on my way home, I had to stop and put in about six or seven quarters.
I'm not trying to make fun of you for your age, but that's crazy that you grew up. Like, I can't even think of a time when there was arcades inside of a 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Arcade games.
I still remember
arcade games being inside certain stores
for sure. A couple of them, yeah. All right.
Number three.
Number three for me is going to be, it's close. It's between Centipede and Galaga. They're both pretty good.
Can you save that clip?
I can't determine which one gets the number three slot.
Centipede or Galaga?
It's between Centipede or Galaga.
I think I was a little better at Centipede, so I'm going to go with that one.
All right.
Centipede was another game where stuff came down on the screen and you tried to shoot it all up. Basically.
No, I thought Centipede was where you had to eat the apples, or you had to eat something, and you became longer, and you couldn't touch your body.
No.
Oh. Okay.
That might be a more.
My centipede is different from your generation.
This was a more simple centipede.
Much that, more simple. Yeah.
It's not the human centipede.
There was one. He's clearly talking about the centipede. Like
you
the,
had a little centipede at the bottom of the screen, and you maneuvered him around, and he shot at all of the stuff coming down.
Okay.
The top.
All right.
Anyway. Very simple, but I was all right at that game.
This one's a tribute to my pops. This is one of his favorite games. I never understood why, but Zelda.
Zelda's a big game.
I could Zelda? Not, I could the Legend not of Zelda. Stand Zelda. I was the kid that used to I think I'm the reason why esports started. Like I was the
Wait,
kid.
What?
I was the kid watching my dad play video games. The concept
oh,
of it, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he would play. I would be so irritated when he wanted to play Zelda. Like. I can't. It's boring.
I don't want to watch
you
play Zelda.
I don't
want to
watch you play Zelda. Play a sports game. But he loved it so much, and he'd be up literally out all hours of the night playing Zelda, especially during the off season. You could find him in his chair at 2-3 in the morning playing Zelda, and it's just like I'd walk in because I usually like to go hang out with him. He's playing Zelda. I'm walking out the room.
He wasn't going to pay any attention to you.
Wasn't that he's going to pay? I just didn't want to watch him play Zelda.
Did you ever play You never played it. So
I played it.
Did you play the N64 Ocarina of Time?
No, I did not.
Oh, that's a great one.
You guys know way too much about.
I was a video game nerd.
Yeah,
year.
Me too.
Sorry, did you say something?
Thomas say something?
1998 game of the year for the 64.
Yes, it was.
Oh, well, I bet you a couple of minor game of the years back in the day.
I don't know if they were giving game of the years back then.
Back in the 60s.
Number two.
All right, number two for me is Space Invaders.
Good one,
solid. One of the all-time original games. And I don't know if you knew this, but there was a cheating pattern to Space Invaders. And I honestly don't remember it exactly, but when you were at the bottom and you were shooting the little Space Invaders as they came slowly down toward you, if you waited until the 17th shot for
the shots.
Yes, for the 17th shot for that flying saucer to go across the top.
Oh, yeah.
And you shot him with that shot, you got 500 points, when most of the time if you shot that, you only got like 10 or 20. So you could increase your score dramatically by counting the number of shots you fired from your Space Invader and hitting that saucer every 17 shots.
That's why I was never good at those games in terms of that, is because all I was trying to do was hit as many things. I wasn't even looking at the points.
You didn't even see the points.
The points
you just wanted to knock everything out.
I just wanted to knock everything out.
Yeah.
That's why I wasn't good at those sports. Those games. were we two?
Yeah,
we're two. Number two on my list... I can't leave Mario Brothers off the list.
The
original Mario Brothers. Again,
it is so funny that when you say that, nothing pops into my head.
Really?
No.
Mario Brothers.
No.
Dun 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 dun.
The original Mario Brothers was 1983.
Well,
and that's how long this game had legs for. 1983. Think about this.
To today.
Till today, Mario Brothers is still rolling.
Really? I can play it on my phone right
throughout
now.
Throughout every Nintendo system, now they've moved into other platforms, but this is probably one of the oldest, at least from a Nintendo standpoint, this was one of their original games, and it's still rolling to this day. They made a cartoon out of it, didn't they?
They've had everything. They made a really terrible movie.
They've got fruit snacks for it. They've got everything for Mario Brothers.
Movies?
They had a movie with John Leguizamo.
That's right.
It was a terrible movie.
It was
an awful movie. You King Koopa.
Oh,
Bowser.
I forgot about that.
And you have to go save Peach. This is not ringing a bell at all. Princess Peach?
Nope.
Princess Peach kind of came along a little later, didn't she?
No, she was game one.
She was in game
one? Princess Daisy was the first one.
Yes, Daisy was the first one.
See here, Chris. I'm playing it on my phone.
He's
not going to watch me.
Number one.
Oh, Thomas is moving us along.
I'd much rather play the number one video game of all time, the original Pac-Man. And I want to tell everybody, do you remember Pac-Man? Obviously, you had to escape from the four ghosts that were chasing your little Pac-Man.
Correct.
But the key way, again, to score points was to eat the fruit that used to pop up in the middle of the screen.
It was risky.
Twice per turn.
It was risky.
Risky.
It wasn't risky if you knew a certain pattern. And you could memorize the pattern. You could move your Pac-Man in the same pattern every screen for the first 25 screens of the game.
It was killing Pac-Man.
And you never get caught once. So I got the cherry, the strawberry, the orange, the apple, the melon, the Galaxian Starship, the bell, and then the keys used to start to line up at the bottom of my computer because the key was like the 10th round. Nobody could get to the key. I could get to like 10 keys. I used to honestly, it's my one maybe moment of fame in my life. I used to have people stop in video arcades and watch me play.
You were
Pac-Man
that kid?
Because they couldn't believe how many points I could score.
I always wanted to be that kid. Because that was like that was how you knew you were good.
But I cheated like crazy.
That's not cheating. That's just like picking up signs from a tail.
I learned the pattern.
The game had a glitch. You figured it out, and you exposed it.
There was a pattern, and if you moved your Pac-Man the exact pattern through the board, it would work on the first board. And then all the way through to about the 20th
board. That is awesome.
Those Pac-Man right game makers really mailed it in, huh?
My number one game is, I'm splitting this one. NBA Live Series came out. And I was
waiting for these to start popping up.
It was next generation. Like, the way, the angle you could get on the court, the realness of it. I remember being, this is when we had my parents had a place in Indianapolis, and it'd be so cold during the winter, we'd be in there playing video games all day long. This was right around 94, because I think Houston, wait, what year did the Rockets win the back-to-back titles? 94 and 5. So this is right around that time. Love that game, and obviously tied for that is the Madden series.
I was just about to say.
I remember, that had to be there.
I remember my father visiting my dad with my family in Peoria, like one of the first years they moved. It was like the very first Madden game that came out, and I was mesmerized. Like you could have snow on the field. It was like the first time you could have any of that stuff in terms of video games. And I was in love with Madden game. And now over the years, it's gotten a little complicated. Like
you have to like...
You had the hit stick, and then you had the one year they had the
quarterback vision.
The quarterback vision thing. And I actually liked it, but it was just hard.
It was super hard.
The game got harder because they started adding more things to the buttons. You only get 4 buttons on there on the remote control.
I never
plus
did
the
figure
bumper
it out.
Button. So
I never figured it out. The closest I ever got to enjoying Madden football was... One of the very early renditions of it, like you said, you could put some snow on the field. You could put the teams in the color uniforms that they wore, which was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I would just put it on. I wouldn't actually play. I would just play 2 teams against each other and watch them play.
That is
off the chain right
that
there.
That makes me a little uncomfortable to be around you.
I would just sit and watch like the Dolphins play the Falcons or something on Madden, but I wasn't either team.
You're just watching.
I just
so you
watched
left it. The control in the middle. You didn't pick a side.
I didn't pick a side, and I just pushed whatever button it was that let the game play.
That is too funny.
And then I kept stats and saw who won.
Wait
the game.
A second. Please don't go anymore. Please don't go anymore.
The countdown is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers with 29 locations to serve you. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for the location nearest you. I must tell you that after that particular subject, I am A, scared to ever go on Twitter again. B, I may even take it a step further. I may never pick up my phone again because I can only imagine how embarrassing my picks were to everybody who knows me.
I like Gallagher.
I apologize.
Yeah, I don't think your picks were embarrassing. I think admitting that you watched a Madden playing each other is a little embarrassing, but the rest of the picks were great.
All
right. I'm taking a shot at you because you take shots at me all the time. So.
All right. Well,
I had some old school. I had a game from 1983, so I mean, I think you're all right.
What about Echo the Dolphin was a great one on Dreamcast.
Dreamcast. That's a different monster right
Crazy
there.
Crazy Taxi.
Best baseball game ever, Triple Play.
Oh, Triple Play is great.
EA Sport MVP.
Oh, did you hear they announced MVP here in 05. San Diego that MLB The Show is going to go platforms?
I don't have to buy a new system.
Because like, you have to buy an Xbox
wanting to play a baseball video game for while I was playing. I never liked playing them because I always felt like it messed up timing. I was superstitious about it. I've been wanting to play a baseball video game for the past 3 years, but I have an Xbox 360. So I can't, an Xbox One. So I can't quite... there's no baseball game, but they just announced now that it'll be on different platforms finally, and I'll finally be able to do it.
Well, that's the new thing that the game companies are doing, is they're trying to put them on one platform so that everybody goes and buys that platform because they can only play that game.
Yeah, but the best part about it is when you're dealing with a huge business like Major League Baseball, at some point they're going to be able to be like, hey, man, kind of want our game spread across all of the platform so we have a better chance to get our names out.
You
there.
Guys might as well be talking Swahili again. I don't know.
Platforms like PS4.
I know,
you're
but
not
I
the
don't
only
know
one.
What all that is.
You're not the only one. PS4,
I see the commercials, but I don't understand the difference. Like, touché. I don't get it. Like an Xbox and a PS4, that's a totally different thing, right?
Yeah, Sony makes PS4, and Xbox is made by Microsoft.
Okay, that's great.
Boom.
All right, I hope you enjoyed our countdown today. That was all right. For coming up at the last minute, I got to give us at least that. We came up with something. Speaking of a countdown, there are 5 unbeaten teams left in college basketball now. That's it. After last night, Louisville lost. And by the way, Louisville got beat by Texas Tech, a team that wasn't even good enough to play the Aztecs in the Las Vegas Invitational.
They got beat.
They got beat twice, and so the Aztecs never even played them in the Las Vegas Invitational. But now Texas Tech comes back, beats number 1 Louisville. I don't know if that bodes well for the Aztecs or not, but it's just a comparison. Butler got beat last night for the first time, and Maryland, which was number 4 in the country, they lost their first game. So the 5 undefeated teams left are Duquesne, Liberty, and then the other 3 are the Aztecs, Auburn, and Ohio State. That's it. And by the time the Aztecs play again, which I don't believe is until next Thursday night against San Diego Christian, they could be the only undefeated team before they even take the floor.
Good point. Good point.
So congrats to Brian Dutcher and what these kids are doing, man. Keep it going. Keep it going. All right. So, all right, final hour of the program is coming up. Tony's going to have Scott Miller. We're going to have our visit with Jace Tingler from earlier today. I got the women's city championship tonight. USD San Diego State women's basketball.
Let's go, Lady Aztecs.
Yeah,
let's do it.
They're due to win this game because they've the USD's had their number in this series for a little while now. So we'll see if the Aztecs beat USD in women's basketball, as happened in men. But I got to get out a little early. I'm sorry about that. But
don't apologize.
So much fun hanging with you guys the last 3 days at the Major League Baseball winter meetings.
Well, good luck tonight.
Thank you. Thank you.
Don't butcher any names. As I would.
Try not to say, what word was it that I made up yesterday?
Oh, what was the word?
Ineffectual.
Ineffectual. That's great.
If the Aztecs miss 3 straight shots, I'll say their outside shooting right now is ineffectual.
Beautiful. Yes. Beautiful.
I will get it in.
Chris, safe travels, and we'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow, guys.
We're going to step away. When we return, the happy hour is back. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.